From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Hello everyone, it's nice to have your company around the Word of God once again. Today we will consider the subject, A Straight Answer to a Straight Question, in our study of John's Gospel. Chapter 6, the verses 28 and 29 is where we will be turning. Do have your Bible open at these verses. Tonight at 9 o'clock we commence a new Bible study. We will be looking at the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, and one very much neglected. I will also be playing an extract from a new sermon tape and offering the full tape free to our listeners. The sermon is entitled The Priority of Pardon, and it's based on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, the verse 2. Now here is a hymn, it's an old favourite, Rock of Ages. After we enjoy it, I will be turning to John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. Turning then to John chapter 6, the verses 28 and 29. Our subject, a plain answer to a plain question. Last week we considered the Saviour's gentle rebuking of the people for their earthly mindedness. In the two verses before us, we have the question asked by the people that his rebuke prompted, and the reply he gives to their question. Having told them not to concentrate upon looking for that which will nourish the body only, but to labour rather for the meat that will nurture everlasting life, the people respond by asking, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Now, when you ask the Saviour a straight question, then you will get a straight answer. First of all, let us consider that the Saviour's answer tells us just what it is God would have men to do. How right it is to have an interest in knowing what is God's will for us. God does have that which he would have us to do. When Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Rome, he referred to them knowing and scrutinizing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. All too many people live without the slightest consideration of what the will of God is for them. We do not act toward each other in this fashion. Then why do we thus act toward God? before we would purchase a gift for a person, we would endeavor to know what it was they needed, or what would best please them, would we not? Why then do we live our lives without the slightest consideration of what it is God would have us to do, or at best with only the vaguest notion of what pleases God? This matter does merit our deepest consideration. I do want us all to note exactly what it is that the Saviour says in his reply. It is vitally important. Indeed, our eternal well-being rests upon us getting a right understanding of these words of Christ. It's not enough for us to rest upon what others tell us Christ has said. We must assure ourselves that what we believe and what we do is indeed in accordance with the Word of God. None of us would be content with treatment for a disease that depended upon someone else conveying to a doctor what our symptoms are, and then coming to us and relating his instructions as to what treatment we should seek. There is too much room for error in such a process. We would insist upon seeing the doctor for ourselves and hearing from his lips his diagnosis and treatment. Why then do so many entrust the eternal well-being of their souls to what others would say is the will of God for them? Let us seek out for ourselves just what it is that God has to say to us, rather than depending upon fallible man to convey to us those instructions upon which our entrance to heaven or to hell depends. Here, then, are the simple instructions of Christ to a people who ask him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" I do want to emphasize that the Bible is God's definitive word of instruction to men as to what he wishes from them. Secondly, the Savior tells us that God wishes men to believe on his Son. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Verse 29. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been sent of the Father, and who, because of his great love, willingly came to save sinners. Now this is the constant theme of the Gospel. The famous answer of Paul and Silas to the jailer at Philippi underscores this. "Sirs," he asks, "what must I do to be saved?" And they answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. The person who is going to get to heaven is the person who believes in Christ alone for salvation. It is not God's will that you look to any other person, trust in any other person, believe in any other person. Christ and Christ alone is the sinner's hope. Just what does the Bible mean when it commands us to believe in Christ? The word itself means to trust, to put one's confidence in. Now, in order to put your trust in Christ, you first of all require information about him. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, the verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" You cannot believe in a person about whom you know nothing. You must be informed. And that's the preacher's task. That is why I am going through the Bible verse by verse in these radio Bible studies. I'm not saying what the Free Presbyterian Church says on this or that. I am setting before you, my listeners, what the Bible says. If you have your Bible before you, and I hope you do, then you can keep a close watch on what I say. Listen to what we read in John chapter 20 and the verses 30 to 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Before we can believe on Christ and be saved, we must be informed about him. Faith is dependent upon knowledge. Then when we have been informed about the person and purpose and power of Christ, we are required to entrust him with our souls. Believing in Christ is not merely knowing about him, being informed of him. You know much about many people, but you would not trust them as far as you could throw them. Is that not true? Now, what the Bible tells us of Christ, it does in order that we might trust him. All the Bible's information about Christ is in order that faith may spring up within our souls as we hear the Bible's witness about the Savior. I have sought to tell you of Christ's love for poor sinners, of his death on the cross to fully atone for all the sins of his people, of his call to men and women to come to him and trust him alone for salvation. If you believe the Bible's record and witness of Christ, then you will believe on him. Let me tell you a little story. Blondin, a French man, was a very famous tightrope walker and regularly amazed people with his feats of skill. He once walked a tightrope stretched across the Niagara Falls in 1859. Indeed, he did it on a number of subsequent occasions. It is reported that on one occasion, he asked a spectator if he believed that he could carry a person across the tightrope over the falls on his back. The spectator enthusiastically said, "Oh, yes, I believe you could do that, sir." Blondin then said, "If you believe that, jump up on my back and I'll carry you across." The spectator adamantly declined the offer. "Do you say that you believe Jesus Christ can save sinners, but you have not yet entrusted your soul to him? Then, my friend, you have not yet faith in the Savior. You're just like that spectator. Faith is not just knowing about Christ, but it's trusting him and committing your soul to him. Please consider what I say. Tune in again tonight. And remember, if you'd like a printed copy of our Bible study notes, you have but to ask. God bless you, and goodbye."
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78 3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.